Yeah, so it's been a week.
That's a slight understatement.
What besides the turmoil that's going on, because we're really lucky because meanwhile I'm like immersed into the worst of all the news that's going on, all the craziness. You're in triathlon world. So how's your week going?
That's fine. Oh, I got my new bike finally built up. Took me a month and a half. And I rode it for the first time yesterday for 2 hours. Thing is smooth as fuck. It is gorgeous. Purple, of course. Specialized frame. And yeah, it's everything I want.
I have yet to contact my lawyers over the whole fact that you're using purple. Although it's a slightly different shade of purple, so I might not get the thing.
I started the purple thing. Get the fuck off my dick.
Well, again, we're recording, so I'll be using the court of law. As I hope nothing else from the rest of this podcast
Was
is.
about to say, you shouldn't have said that because I'm gonna use everything. I'm gonna unbleep everything too. It's gonna be one of those.
No. This is why I keep the main recordings and then delete them promptly afterwards.
Right.
All right.
Get the fuck
Woo.
off now. Get the fuck off my dick.
Oh my God, this is gonna be a. All right. You lead in this time.
Hey, hello everybody. Welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music culture, episode 46. I am Sean.
I'm Dan, and this is Rob.
This is rough. Sorry, I was still multitasking. Like, if you want, we can unfuck
Oh
it, or we can
no.
keep going because
Oh no, I didn't say this is
you want this in the court of law.
I didn't say this is rough in regarding to your introduction. Your introduction was totally fine.
Oh,
I'm saying this
okay.
weef is horrible. This weef is
So
horrible. I'm
yeah,
sorry to catch you off guard.
we're gonna talk about Kanye. I had to do a long pause because no one's ready for this. We have we've got some lots of music dropping though. We got Janelle Monáe's album Dirty Computer. We got Post Malone's Beer Bonds and Bentleys and Zoo's new EP Eat the Elephant.
It's not Eat the Elephant. I messed up because I forgot in the rundown.
No, so that
It's
isn't Eat the
called.
Elephant. It's
It's a
something
long thing. We'll
desert.
get to it in a moment.
Desert something
We're doing it
desert part
live.
one. We're doing it live.
Yeah.
Fuck it. My
Ringo's
apologies.
Desert Part 1. There we
Yeah,
go.
the Ringo's Desert Part One. And so I'm like, eat the elephant. I'm like, wasn't that somebody else's thing? Yep.
Yeah, that's what
We're
happens when I am creating the rundown really
professionals.
fast. So professionals. And speaking of our professionalism, you can follow us on the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at
Dumbass.
AudioFacePod.
Dumbass.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web and Instagram Dan from the Internet. And he is everything at SW Suarez because he's a triathlete. He's cool. And I do politics and it's depressing. Let's talk about music though, because that's fun.
Yeah, so Arctic Monkeys are going to be releasing a new album soon, but they're not releasing singles, so fuck
Which is actually a little bit of a
Well,
statement because.
I was about to say, I kind of like that, honestly, because a lot of times bands release singles and like 6 months before their fucking album, and then you hear that song on the album and it makes the album feel a little dated, as I will talk about on Post Malone's album.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be a lot of takes for that. It's gonna be for newer listeners to the podcast, we're gonna be doing an ep segment called No Chill Island, in which we'll explain that later. But we're gonna be talking a lot about things in that. But Post Malone isn't even in that, surprisingly, which is unusual. I would usually throw him in that, but we're gonna be no holds barred conversation for that. But yeah, going back to the Arctic Monkeys, I'm really a fan of this. There are bands that even I like, Ray Shremmerd, who are releasing like new singles every week, every 2 weeks, and it's just inundating. It's kind of just ridiculous at this point for sure. And so the Arctic Monkeys are going in a very different direction with this album. It was originally going to be like a solo album for the lead singer. I'm forgetting his name right now, but the album called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino should be coming out in June, and it's going to be supposedly there's a lot of piano in it, so it has like a I'm getting like a classic rock, almost Beatles. At least that's the
I'm with
instrumentation they're
it.
coming into it. I don't know if that's gonna be the sound, but are Arctic Monkeys trying to save rock? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. I don't know. You tell
I'm
me.
with it. Put more piano on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
Make
great
piano
instrument.
great again.
Mappa.
Oh
not get wild here. Let's not get political on this podcast. That would be weird.
That's just, we're going to save that because it's about to get wild.
Yeah. Before I get wild, let's get a little bit of seriousness out of the way when it comes to news. Bob Doro, who a lot of you may not know his name originally, but he was the composer for Schoolhouse Rock. Sorry for that pause. I thought you were going to go ahead. It's weird because we're doing this podcast remotely, and we're not going to be doing that soon anymore. I'm going to be back close to Sean because I just can't get enough of that pause. And yeah, we're going to be doing exciting things. Pause. But anyways, up at the Free Speech Studios in Berkeley. But Bob Doro, Schoolhouse Rock composer. He died at 94. He's also known as a renowned jazz musician. And yeah, it's obviously, it's not... he lived a full life, for sure. So it's not like a sudden tragic thing, but
no, if he definitely 94, made his mark. If you leave the world at 94, damn.
That's a good number.
That's a good number. I have people in their 80s saying, can I just die now? Like, I'm good.
Yeah, but let's see. I'm reading from Consequence of Sound right now. While working at an advertising agency in 1971, Doro was approached by his boss to create a song about multiplication tables, which is cool. I wish jobs were that fun. The idea was that if kids could remember the lyrics to rock music better than school lessons, perhaps setting the education to music would do the trick. The song became Three is a Magic Number, which grew to become Multiplication Rock, which is the first entry in the Schoolhouse Rock series. And so there's that bill becomes a law thing, which is like probably what introed a lot of people into political science, unfortunately. But that's just like a classic...
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
But I mean, it's just like, that's a classic staple of using music kind of as a utility. I mean, we talk about this podcast about how music isn't just a one layer, like a one track thing. It affects culture heavily, and it can be used to influence culture in different ways. We'll definitely be talking about that later. So, yeah, peace to him.
Right. Then, speaking of more tragic, well, not really tragic, that one wasn't tragic, this one's tragic. Avicii's death is a likely suicide. I guess he was really dealing with a lot of mental health issues, as his family was saying. And his like a quote from him is, he could not go any longer, he wanted to find peace. His family said in a new statement. I guess he struggled a lot. That's why he retired from going on tour and then just did strictly albums for the past 2 years. And yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah, he had also had some health issues, and he had talked about like physical health problems with the kind of wild party life of touring as a sudden EDM star in your 20s. And he also talked a lot about, in addition to the physical health things he was going on, the mental health toll that it took on how he was like an anxious kind of inside person, and then rising to this like sudden level of fame. It was sudden for him, it was fun for him, but it was also a lot, and it was overwhelming for him. So it's seeming that he took his own life, and as someone who has like definitely approached that before, like as like straight out a suicide survivor, that's like, it's always kind of shocking and telling to see people go through those struggles. And it's something that happens in music a lot. It happened a lot last year with Chris Cornell and a couple other artists.
Right.
It's always something to just like be mindful of, that behind every artist, I mean behind every person, is just a lot of complicated things they're going through. And it's best to, if you know people, to like reach out to them, be there for them, all that usual stuff. Just be good people.
Yeah, it's a shitty world out there, so be nice to one another. Unless that person is Kanye West.
Yeah, and with it's nice that we got that out of the way so people know that we're serious. You know, this is a podcast about culture. We're going to be talking about that. But now we're going to do No Chill Island.
Now, we're diving straight in. This is going to be bad and beautiful.
So, No Chill Island. There are simple rules to No Chill Island. There's a line. There's a line in conversation. There's a line in being politically correct, let's say. You're allowed to tiptoe the line. You're allowed to look at the line. You're allowed to like touch the line a little bit. You just can't cross the line. What's the line? We don't know. We'll find out.
We do it in live on the line, and then the line is found usually by a big giant bleep. So that's when you know the line has been found.
Yeah, and if Sean says something for a long period of time, or if I say something for a long period of time, because honestly, it might happen, and I might just run with it just for the sake of conversation, then you might hear me do some fun little editing tricks to see if that can be, you know, worked out. But, you know, it's going to be fun. We'll see. This is going to be an exploration of pop culture and politics and what's acceptable. So, without further ado, let's
I just read some of the tweets.
No, yeah, it's... So, Kanye West, we talked about him last week because he's going to be releasing some new music. We know he's a flamboyant kind of...
He did release some new music, actually.
And we'll be talking about that in a moment. But I felt it would be best for the listener to go, hey, listen, I have a busy week. I'm doing things, participating in capitalism, trying to pay rent. So, I really need you to sum up the Kanye West thing for me. I knew it was a thing. I know there's Trump involved, but let's go. So... Beginning with Kanye West releasing, talking about how he's going to release new albums and his whole record label is going to be releasing albums in June. We're going to be talking about that, et cetera, whatever. He's releasing a lot of tweets about philosophy and ends up being pretty good. I'm even going to out Sean right now because this is No Chill Island and we're going to put each other on blast. We were talking about one tweet that Kanye sent that was talking about the like chains of capitalism, basically. And Sean was like, oh shit, and Kanye woke now?
Yep. I go, I don't know if he's an idiot or if he's, like, smart right now. What's he doing?
Right. And then we found out that he's an idiot.
And just, I don't even know what the hell he's on about.
So, Kanye West can... So the first part of the story, Kanye West tweets on April 21st that he loves the way that Candace Owens thinks. Candace Owens is this black political commentator. She's generally politically conservative. Look at me, I'm being a really objective journalist right now, considering this is No Chill Island. And she's known for saying a lot of kind of normal things that a really racist white guy would say, but in a young black woman's body. So conservatives love her, and they pay her lots of money to go speak on college campuses to say that black people are lazy and they need a job and celebrities are bad and, you know, all those usual things, right? So, it's very contrasting to woke Kanye West. There's like a like upheaval and exploitation of political power that can be shown in numbers.
Saying and that Bush doesn't like black people and
yeah, I mean there's that famous quote too. I mean conservatives went all over him with that. He was unpatriotic. Seeing Chris Tucker's face just makes me so happy every single time.
Whoa. But I'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, Candace Owens also has appeared on InfoWars, I'm pretty sure, too. So that's can let you know who she is. But, okay, so Kanye has an opinion, whatever. Then Kanye says he loves Donald Trump. Speaking on Hot 97.
Yep.
He said this before, so it's kind of not news. But, you know, he said that right when he had won, saying, you know, he might have voted for Donald Trump for president. And people were still in that kind of... You know, let's see what he'll do. Maybe he's not going to be so bad kind of mood, but we've had a year and a half and, you know, you have your opinions on him by now.
Yeah.
So at this point, what do you think? We're kind of just getting started here. We're just warming up.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were saying, what do you think about Trump? I'm like, I can't do that. You know, I would get banned.
Fuck.
I'm like, whoa,
Sean,
whoa,
what's your take on Trump? No. I mean, what's your take on this Kanye West saga so far? So we're just barely in.
The fact that he put the Thought Police want to suppress freedom of thought on his Twitter. I see you just read 1984. It's a good book. And if you reading 1984 and you actually understand 1984, you'd be pretty scared for the world and not aligning with leaders that like to spy on everybody and do war crimes against people and do illegal wars. But we're not. I'm trying not to make this political.
I mean,
but
can we talk about the Central Park Five? We're talking about Trump now. So Trump literally went after people of color who were turned out to be innocent and went after them anyway because, mm-hmm. I mean, what other factors can we leave out there? Ebro, so the host on Hot 97, I guess is trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, the utmost benefit of the doubt, in saying that like Kanye is vouching for Owens and Trump, not on the substance of their beliefs, but on the notion of challenging established systems. And saying Kanye feels demonized, which is like, okay, you can challenge established systems and not be for, like, pristine xenophobia. Like, the height of xenophobia. Then you pull. So this is when Kanye goes like full Kanye. He says he refutes charges that he has erratic behavior and calls them fake news. And he says that please never use the word erratic to describe a person who is economically and psychologically empowered.
Yeah, you were like broke a year ago begging everybody for money.
He was about to zuck up for money, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He was about to do the zuck. And, you're a bumbling fucking buffoon, idiot. I don't even, like, this irks me.
Here's the thing. So Kanye's gone into full Kanye West mode now. I'm just going to say it, and I'm just going to get over with, because we're in that mode.
We're in Kanye. We're in Kanye territory.
He says, I'm nobody's client. Yes, I got rid of my... I no longer have a manager.
I can't be managed.
We have 160 positions to fill by the end of the year. Yeezy will hit $1 billion this year. It's the second fastest growing company in history. So he's a brand now, apparently. We will reach the prices I've promised. I am this generation's Ford Hughes Job Disney.
What? Hold on. Where the fuck is this?
I'm on the fifth bullet down.
I see.
These are just the ridiculous tweets at this point.
What in the hell?
Right? Like, he's just lost it at this point.
Also, apparently, he said, my hero is Emma Gonzalez.
Remind me?
She's the Parkland survivor.
Oh, yeah, this is brand new. Okay, so don't skip ahead now. Don't skip ahead now. We need to go in order.
Sorry, it's too much.
This is just late breaking news here on Audio Face. This is crazy. This is going wild. Okay, so after you have... Kanye West, with that tweet, said that he had left his business manager because apparently his business manager said he was behaving erratically, which matches the fact that he was admitted to, like, a mental hospital, which I obviously have, like, no stigma towards. It's just, like, if we're going to be talking about someone with erratic behavior and we're talking about Kanye West, who's, like, doing all this, then that's potential. So right now, let's pause. Is erratic behavior, like... having a different opinion. Am I wrong here? Because you have traditionally been more conservative than me. So am I just saying that erratic behavior is just like being conservative, or what is this? Is this different?
No. If you're mental, you're mental.
But like, how is this mental? Like, to describe for people, like, in the utmost way, how this is erratic.
How this is erratic? It's by...
Do you not fire your coach on Twitter?
That's one, saying you can't be managed, is two, going back and forth on basically your stances on political issues, literally not having a stance on anything, apparently, because everything you say contradicts yourself, going back and forth, slightly erratic, firing everybody, saying you're broke at one point, then going selling $150 t-shirts and $8,000 shoes, having to have somebody try to buy you out, have Adidas come step in and save you, then go and say that we're making $1 billion, I can't be managed, because I'm psychologically and money empowered, whatever it was.
Empowered! Economically empowered!
Then that's how you know you're erotic and just a professional buffoon.
Yeah, like, when I say Kanye West, I mean, like, he's being the, like, court jester. He's being the class clown. Like, he's being the... like, he's being the human menstrual cartoon. That's essentially what he's being right now.
I'm like a complete fish. That's it.
God! It's bad. It's bad when you say it.
I'm sorry. That's it. I know these people. We've met them through our life. And when you have professional idiots, that's it.
You have people who can, like, over extend their reach. Absolutely.
You should probably leave that.
They can get drunk on their own ego, but again, we're not done, because John Legend's about to jump in.
Fucking kill me.
So John Legend had... He sent a text to Kanye West, and he said, hey, it's John Legend. I hope you'll reconsider realigning yourself with Trump. You're way too powerful and influential to endorse who he is and what he stands for. As you know, what you say really means something for your fans. They're loyal to you and respect your opinions. So many people who love you feel betrayed right now because they know the harm that Trump's policies cause, especially to people of color. Don't let this be a part of your legacy. You're the greatest artist of our generation. To which Kanye...
By the way, John Legend, you get -4 book credits for saying you're the best artist in our generation.
Okay, I'm not going to add nuance to that because this is No Chill Line and I want to have fun.
Yep.
Kanye West replies, I love you, John, and I appreciate your thoughts. Your bringing my fans or my legacy is a tactic based on fear to use to manipulate my free thought. And we know that that text message conversation happened because Kanye West screenshotted it and tweeted it out. So,
Love you, John, appreciate your thoughts. You bring it up, my fans, and my legacy is a tactic based on fear to use to manipulate my free thought. Jesus fucking Christ.
He's officially reached petty, like, ex-girlfriend level.
You know what he's done? He's reached Eddie Bravo levels of paranoia. Which is scary. Next thing you know, he's going to be tweeting flat earth, saying nuclear bombs aren't real, and the government's lying about everything.
I mean, we're nearly there. I mean, he was almost there, which would have been, you know, not going to know politics.
I wish you said that. I would have been down.
And so John Legend, for his credit, he's kind of being mature through all this. I think what he was trying to say is that I think he sees certain aspect of himself in Trump, kind of trying to separate the maverickness, like doing whatever he wants to defy all odds thing. And maybe he sees that. But okay, if you're giving him that credit, then Kanye West is a complete fucking moron when it comes to what's actually happening with like real people and what's actually going on. If he cared about the shit that he was rapping about earlier, then he wouldn't be rapping for like the... He wouldn't be wearing the Make America Great Again hat. The same like fat ass fucking porn star pissing ass clown president we've got over here like would be on his side. I don't understand that at all. I mean, I do understand it. Kanye West, the great reading level, but... We it's continue.
And the saga continues.
So, Chance the Rapper, he originally was going to defend Kanye West. Because, like, Donald Trump actually tweeted, thank you, Kanye West, for being a great service to the black community. Because kind of what I was going to try to say earlier when I was talking about being a nuanced point is that you get up to egotistical people by sucking up to them. Like, stroke their egos so much. Like, if you suck up to them, that's how you just, like, crank that shit. And that's how you, like, get through to them. And so that's why Donald Trump, who probably would have, like lashed out at Kanye West if Kanye West was anti-Trump, was like, oh, thank you for your great service to the black community. Chance the Rapper tweeted that black people don't have to be Democrats, which, like, this is stupidity. Of course black people don't have to be Democrats, but if you're going to have any kind of fucking political opinion, people think you can have a political opinion and then, like, never be challenged on it. And when you get challenged on it, oh, you're challenging my freedom of speech. Your freedom of fucking speech, like that fucking Ben Shapiro with Yonk Totter is fucking over here with his, like, bullshit. Oh, God.
You hit the line.
I blew through the line.
I mean, if we're gonna toe the line, if I'm walking on ice, I might as well dance, right? So, if you're gonna have a political opinion, same thing as Dan. Obviously, you don't have to be Democrat. Don't be either. They're both corporate shills, and war criminals.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's what we talk about all the time. There's no political podcast we have yet because that would destroy the world. But
we can't have that.
We literally can't because the entire thing would be bleeped. But you can have other fucking political opinions. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
Yeah, look, I'm an independent. Goddamn. I hate both parties. That's it. Pretty simple. Don't support war criminals. That's it.
You can be independent. You can do all these things. You can set on your own path. You can stay on your own path and not like go, oh, well, he's kind of right. Oh, he's kind of right. Like, you can say, hey, fuck Trump, but also fuck the Democrats. And you'd be entirely right. And I think the majority of the country would believe you if you just stood out with that message. Like, that would be a successful Kanye 2020 thing. But no, he's not going to do that because he's on his fucking...
Also, we can't have a professional as the First Lady of the U.S., so...
Fuck! Oh, God!
That's also a strike for Kanye. You married into that thing. That cement-filling ass human.
Anyways, this is a music podcast, allegedly.
Bleeped round three.
This is a music podcast, allegedly. And so, we also have to talk about the fact that Kanye West did release some singles.
Oh,
because we talked about that 17 minutes ago. And, poop-de-scoop.
What the hell kind of John Lennon, what kind of greatest artist in the world will make that?
I'm greatest artist in the world.
Fucking greatest artist in
the scoop the whoop. I mean,
I hate this place and professional buffoons.
I mean, that song sounded like what Bill Cosby's gonna be singing to himself when he gets in prison.
That's what should I dance? Should I, like, break the ice?
Take the ice. Go ahead. I just said that.
That's the, you poop the whoop. Scoop the whoop. That's what IDF are saying when they're shooting free-thinking Palestinian journalists out there. And, on the... I said, hey, ice, you're no longer ice. You're water.
Okay. So, Ye versus the People is, like, the most recent... I guess, thing to happen from this. And, like, oh, God. So, it was a song with T.I. that's meant to be this response to the...
T.I. still exists, by the way? I thought he, like, went away when he made his app in 2009. These are with those glasses, ay, ooh.
That's T-Pain.
That's the... Oh, fucking A. I don't know. Everybody starts with a T or a little now, apparently.
Racist.
I don't give a shit. If you're a professional buffoon, you're a professional buffoon.
Anyways, so that song was like this back and forth about how, yeah, he's reaffirming his love for Trump and he invites other people to join in on the controversy. And I'm going to bring in the story you brought up. That's late breaking news. Emma Gonzalez, the... one of these survivors from the Parkland school shooting says that she is one of his heroes. And Emma Gonzalez responded by kind of saying, like, I'm not impressed at all. Like, I don't care. And then Emma posted a picture of James Shaw Jr. instead by saying my hero. That's who is the shooting hero from the Waffle House shooting. And I'm
that no one talks about, right? Because apparently it doesn't happen if somebody white shoots up people.
Or no, you want to know why it doesn't happen? Hmm. Because a good guy without a gun stopped a bad white guy with a gun.
A black guy without a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Not some professional rich buffoon that marries into porn star families.
Hashtag no politics. But all in all, this is a teachable moment. Okay? Like, as we said, freedom of speech isn't just a phrase, okay? It's what are you protecting? And you're allowed to have other opinions, but how do those opinions hold up? And if those opinions are full of shit, and if you're defending people who are full of shit, yeah, you're going to get called out on it. Ben Shapiro. Thank God.
I mean, if you really want me to go in, we could talk about, like, the early 1900s and the mid-1900s of the Red Scare and smearing everybody's a communist or socialist without just sitting down having a conversation with people that believe in that ideology and saying, hey, why are you afraid of this so much? What is so bad about it? Instead of jailing these people, hanging them in broad daylight in like the 1920s and 30s.
We could have that conversation, but the Penguins are playing.
The Penguins are about to play in about an hour and a half, and I gotta watch that, or else we'd be talking about that for about 3 hours.
And we still have 3 album reviews to get to, and we still have the rest of No Chill Island in. We've already lost, so...
We should just call this episode just bleep. Like, it's 5 minutes of just us apologizing. Be like, sorry, the episode can go through because it just didn't.
Making our new overlords the simple cast very happy. No, anyways. So, you can mock the media. Like, you can support whoever you want, but you're going to be criticized for it, and you're going to be mocked for it, and you're going to be on the record for it, because people can screenshot and receipt and... We can talk just as much as Kanye West can, and the people are more powerful. So in that Kanye West versus the people thing, it's the people are more powerful. Also, Kanye is playing the media like an instrument. I'm glad that Emma Gonzalez called it and didn't fall for that whole, I'm gonna appeal to people on the left and people on the right thing, which is obviously what he's trying to do, because that's how you pull up the most buzz. And yeah, Emma Gonzalez isn't falling for it. People know that we're gonna see through this shit. And so everyone else should do that too. And lastly, because it's been a while since Sean or I quote one of our favorite bands, Gorillaz, reject false icons. Moving on.
There you go. So, Free Meek Mill. Wow, I said that weird. Free Meek Mill has been freed.
God. So, they let the cage. Oh, shit. I don't even think I can say that.
It's really bad. You're gonna really have to sit down and listen to it, because of the small commentary we had when the other was talking was enough to get banned. This is really bad. I think I might have said that too at one point, so just the editing on this has got to be on space.
this is a lot of
for the sake of your career,
for the sake of both of our careers,
right?
Racist triathlete John Suarez over
here. Allegedly.
Allegedly. You've never made a single racial statement. You have no proof that a single racial statement has ever been said.
What is race? We're all humans.
Precisely. So Meek Mill has been freed from prison. Fellow human Meek Mill has been released from prison, according to Billboard. He was kind of co-opting the whole, like, fact that men of color are over-policed and often have the book thrown at them for minor offenses, which he decided to defend by doing wheelies and getting in fights on probation. Anyways, what do you think?
Fucking pay your taxes.
I mean, to be fair, I never wanted Meek Mill to get like the full, what was it, 5-year, 10-year prison sentence. That's ridiculous.
That's a little, that's a bit much, but a little, at least get a little time, get a little drop the soap booty tickling, just so you know, hey, you gotta do it.
Everyone's gotta pay up. But, and yeah, the whole reason is that if this were a rapper who, like, okay, rappers do rock star shit, I'm not gonna expect them to be on their best behavior. But you know, they get in trouble, they're on probation, they go through their probation, maybe they do something really little, like they're on tour and they leave the city for a show or something, and they do that and they get the book thrown at them, then yeah, I'm up with Jay-Z. This is ridiculous. This is over policing. But, like, the wheelies, the fights, the, like, this is a lot of effort, as of said time immemorial. This is a lot of effort being put towards not your best case for, like, police misconduct.
Yeah.
Or, like, criminal justice system misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, basically, the spirit of Trayvon Martin himself, Meek Mill, is ready to fight justice bias in the justice system. Probably shouldn't have said that either.
I'll allow that one.
You'll allow that one? Is that a little too edgy?
I like that. You need to be a little edgy.
You need to be a little edgy.
Yeah, so...
Oh. Mill.
I like it.
Robert Remeek Williams is his name. Robert Remeek Williams.
All right. I just like it when people in power actually get jailed for breaking the law. Like Kobe got away for, like, Kobe didn't have to go away for rape, so shit. We need more people to get in for doing their bad deeds.
I mean, Bill Cosby got in. R. Kelly, you're next.
That's exactly. Can we, like, oh my god, I just saw a picture of the little pump. Can we
wannabe? You mean a wannabe?
Yeah, he's not even black. What the fuck? Talk about racists.
Oh god. Are we at that yet? No, sorry. There's one last part of the Meek Mill thing. That's great. So, Meek Mill is not allowed to leave Philadelphia while on bail, because he's been released on prison on bail, but he can't leave.
$5 as he leaves Philadelphia and gets back in prison.
I'll raise that 10. I'm sorry, I just have no confidence in Meek Mill.
No, I don't either. He had like three chances to get out. He got his, dude, he got like two cards in Monopoly. Like the get out
of jail free cards. He got two get out of jail free cards and he was like, oh, I'm just gonna use this to wipe my ass.
And he traded it to somebody for property and then landed on go to jail, go directly to jail, did not pass go, did not collect $200.
No, he like, traded that get out of jail free card for ice.
So, a little pump.
All right, no, let's,
This is still no chill.
This is still no chill island. This is gonna be
I'm getting banned. I mean, I already got banned for calling him a thing, but, This is so bad.
Okay, well, cracker rapper Lil Pump over here. Apparently, he went out and bought a house for $4.5 million, which is what J. Cole told him to say.
Because he got bored. This is what happens when you let professional idiots get all the money.
Wait, I have a question. So Lil Pump does tours and things. So I know he just makes money from that. But didn't he have a contract that he just signed that was just like a $10 million advance or whatever, like a $5 million advance?
Something like that. From Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah, so let's be liberal and say he got like a $10 million advance. So he just blew more than 4.5 on that, because it was like more than that with fees and everything, on the mansion. And he blows more than that on weed and like videos and dumb shit all the time. He's 17 right now. How long you think till he like drugs out and dies?
I hope I give him like 9 months. I'd love to spit on his grave.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm glad we did that serious portion earlier in the show about how, like, suicide's a bad thing. We don't, want that at all. That being said, Lil Pump looks like death, so why not speed it up?
Why don't you just do the route of most famous people, get a shitty doctor and have him prescribe you, like, some sleeping medication, and that makes you go to sleep forever?
I think Lil Pump should just create a song called Smoke Gallon, like, Drink Gallons of Perp. And he should just, like, that should be the music video where he has, like, Gatorade, like, jug. And he's just drinking all that lean. He just continues doing it. He just, like, keeps going. And people going, chug, chug, chug. And then the best part is that the chorus can be, don't get me when I pass out. And so, like, while he's doing the whole thing, it can be, like, that Gangstalicious I Got Shot song.
I got shot. No, I really got shot. No,
I really got shot. suicide's not a joke. Please. The suicide prevention hotline for anything. Okay, Sean, I'm gonna break your J. Cole loving heart right now.
I don't love J. Cole, the fuck?
Well, your J. Cole appreciating heart, because he's apparently changed his mind on SoundCloud rappers. Even after releasing that album.
How do you flip-flop when you just... well, it is humans, so...
He said, if you exclude the top three rappers in the game, the most popping rappers are all exaggerated versions of black stereotypes. Extremely tied up, colorful hair, flamboyant. That's what he used to say. But he said, I'm now in a place where I can hear people and get excited. Like, this kid is dope as fuck. I wasn't there before. Everybody was trash. So I guess he's saying that, like, he has this sort of turn of heart from it. But no. You were right.
Why did you flip? What? J. Cole. Check yourself in the loony bin real quick. Make sure your head's all there, because you were right, and now you just flip-flopped on your entire album, and you look like a buffoon.
You know, J. Cole, did you just let Lil Pump, like a 17-year-old, like punk you out? Were you like scared of a 17-year-old white kid whose biggest song is called "Skate It"? Is that why you backed up and said, "Oh, I guess trap's okay now. It's all good." Like, I'm now understanding the J. Cole haters in saying that J. Cole's probably one of the biggest bitches in hip-hop. Because I get enough of politics all the time where people flip-flop on their opinions, and it's just, like, taken as a given, all right? But outside of that, you have to call that shit out. So, yeah, J. Cole, he flip-flopped on his opinions. That's, like, serious discredit for me. I'm gonna go back and review that album.
Bitch.
Shit. He's a bitch. And now, making it out of that no chill island unscathed, having said nothing offensive whatsoever and only 40 minutes into the podcast, let's actually start talking about music.
Yep. So, Janelle Monáe released an album called Dirty Computer.
Yeah, it's, I think she had an EP before, I want to say, but, no, there's a, I think there was a work before, like, she's been in things before, but this is her first, like, studio album solo effort.
No, she's released a lot of shit.
I mean, those are things that she's been in on Spotify, but I know this is, like, a big, we'll keep going.
Whatever. It's 14 songs, 48 minutes long, R&B, classic R&B, actually, which
really
is
poppy,
like, poppy R&B, that's what I would say, and I liked it to a point. I don't really like that genre of music too much, but it's fine, I guess. Main thing was, I kind of hated the song of Pharrell Williams, to be honest. I got the juice, I don't know why, I just listened to it, I'm like, I don't know why. This is kind of rough. Like,
go ahead.
Mr. Don't Age Pharrell Robot, probably in Westworld out here. And I'm like, shit, he's still doing stuff again? And, yeah, that was kind of the only song I didn't like. The rest was okay. Yeah, I mean, I really don't have too much to say.
Interesting. Honestly. I have a lot to say about it, actually.
I knew you'd have a lot to say. I was just listening to it, and I just I felt uninspired, if anything. I don't know why. Yeah, I could not get into it. I tried. I listened to it twice through, and I go, I don't know, nothing's really grabbing me like I wanted it to.
Well, I'll give my opinion of the album, and we'll go into it. So, you were right, which is hilarious. You're not into the album, but you're more correct about it factually. I guess that's why we have you on the podcast. This is her third studio album. So she has released things.
Sleep!
But this is definitely, like, the first thing I had heard of her, and she's definitely making a lot in the rounds, because she even, we might have skipped it in the whole big rundown, because there's so much Kanye, and I was kind of getting sick of it, but,
So can we have, can we do the, like, we did a Taylor Swift band, can we do a Kanye band for, like, a few episodes?
Let's do a Kanye band for the month of May.
Alright.
Because he has an album coming out in June, and, like, this whole label has an album coming out in June, so, like, we're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah, no shit. Okay,
but
I like it.
Let's do a band. I'm down. But, after this episode. So, J. Cole, which, to make things interesting, Janelle Monáe and Jaden Smith denounced Kanye West for supporting Trump. And they kind of echoed what I was saying earlier by saying that, oh my god, we didn't even talk about the dragon energy thing.
Oh, fuck. Oh my god. No Show Island Part 8 today.
Dragon energy, like, Kanye West and Donald Trump are at the gas station getting that, like, Alaskan, like, a hog trunk to make their dicks longer. Anyway. So, like, let's talk about Janelle Monáe.
This is a disaster.
Yeah.
The wheels are falling off.
In that, and in the whole, like, media blitz, I think a lot of what people liked about Kanye West, and I'm bringing this to the album, I promise, is that for a lot of people, he was, like, a voice of what people were trying to say, what people were trying to get out. Like, an emotion that wanted to be, people wanted heard, I guess.
Well, yeah, and, like, graduation, you could hear that, 100%.
Yeah. I think Kanye was more in tune to that. I think he was more in tune with, I guess, speaking out that way. And then somewhere along the line, maybe a couple Kardashian taps later, and maybe he, like, got into the whole ego-driven phase.
Rich, bitch, is what he got into.
I mean, sure. Well, let's not rehash that debate, because we want to give it, like, Janelle Monáe her time. This was, I think, a great album, so I want to give it, like, its due time. Instrumentally, it's very poppy to me. Like, every song is meant to be a pop song that does really well, and you know what? That's fine. Like, sure, that's kind of what it's going for. That's kind of for artists that are very much solo and vocal based. We've talked about this before, where the instrumentation, I don't think about that much, because it's just, you know, it's pre-produced, it's meant to be poppy. I'll say 3 out of 4 collaborations I didn't mind. The Pharrell Williams one was a little bit weird as well, but I thought that the album in tone, especially lyrically, went a lot of places that a lot of music is just kind of afraid to go, because it explores like bisexuality, it explores like experience for Black people, Black women especially, explores her experience specifically. And at least instrumentally, it adds some elements from pop and R&B, blending them together with electronic, that I thought were kind of cool. Not groundbreaking, but definitely cool. And I like the juxtaposition to where the album begins, kind of like the second song, Crazy Classic Life, with a kind of standard Martin Luther King quote. And then the last song, Americans, ends with a Martin Luther King quote that's really radical, talking about not just Black people, but women and gays and Latinos and all that stuff. And then beyond that, the album isn't really political, which is, to me, like, a good balance if you're going to make a political album like that. And I think it would have been kind of ignorant if, like, a person like Janelle Monáe were to make an album like this at this time without at least acknowledging some of it. And in doing that, she has almost found a way to eclipse Kanye in some of the media's attention for people who are hungry looking for, like, another woke artist. I mean, Vince Staples is right over here just waiting for you, just sitting here. He's not making a big fuss about himself. He's just spitting facts, but, like, you know.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to have to listen to it again. So I didn't listen to the lyrics that much. It's hard because I listened to 3 albums in 1 day, I guess, so that probably doesn't help.
Yeah, and so I think especially if you fall into one of those categories, there'll be something in this album that resonates for you, and because those are all, like, marginalized groups that don't get a voice a lot, like, that'll be great. And so that's pushing it forward in a way that, like, you know, generations ago, people like Prince and David Bowie would, like, twist how the media perceived, like, gender and in that way, in their own way, for that time. And there was a lot of confusion and people were like, I didn't get it then, but for another group of people, it spoke to them and it motivated them and it got them to the point where, like, those are people that, I mean, Prince and Janelle Monáe, you can kind of see the track through that, I guess. It's laying the groundwork.
Yeah, so okay,
that I liked was really good. And then it even explored some, like, rappier parts of it. Like, Django Jane was a little rappy, so I thought that was kind of cool. And there was, like, collaboration with Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter, which was interesting. Yeah, I mostly liked it. Our rating scale this week. Our rating scale this week is... drone deaths at weddings.
Fucking A.
But so, the lower, the better.
Yeah, and if you kill the bride, you automatically lose.
Yeah, so that's like a really horrible album we're going to be talking about.
That's like a Lil Pump album, if you kill the bride.
We do arbitrary scores because, as usual, you know, we don't want you to compare every single album to all the albums because it's all arbitrary and so how we're feeling and we're just talking about it. So, what would you rate this? Lower is better. So the fewer civilians you kill, Mr.
Out of, President. Out of 10, how many civilians are we going for?
I mean, we're the Pentagon, as many civilians as possible. But for the sake of keeping this simple, 10. And do not fucking cut civilians in half.
Damn, I was gonna say, can I blow up a civilian in half real quick? Can I, like, get a little Arab leg here or there? Or what? That might get bleeped.
Wow, Sean, I have to bleep something outside of a no-chill island. You're just creating so much work for me. Thank you.
I told you, the wheels fell off this bus a long time ago. I could have said something really bad there, too, but I'm not.
I saw that. Anyways, believe me, I caught that.
Thank you. I'm going to give this a solid 3 dead civilians.
Only 3 dead civilians.
Only 3, which is... Because I appreciate it for what it is. I just don't... In the moment, I wasn't in it. So we can go back onto, I want to do an episode, actually, of albums that I changed my mind about, and I'm pretty sure this will be on that.
That's interesting.
This is something that I know I have to get into to like it, but I couldn't, like, I wasn't in the mood, I couldn't feel it, but I know once I get into it, I would probably like it a lot.
I think that would be a cool discussion section topic. Like, albums mm-hmm. we've changed our minds about. And that'd be cool yeah, to like, revisit, like, in the middle of the year, maybe, like, kind of a check-in. Maybe
you could around just do it, like, you could do it in general, too, because, like, the Kina Limbs is an album that I completely 180'd on. But,
Yeah, but because yeah, I only say, like, for this year, because I've thought about this a lot. Like, I've had some albums I've evolved opinions on. Some I don't like as much, some I like more. And so I think it's only fair to talk about this. I think it's a good conversation.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. All right, how many people did you kill?
All right, I'm going to say this killed 2 civilians.
Yeah.
Because, especially, I'm more the visual person as well, so there's like an art film devoted to it, and just, I don't know. I, even trying to take my own personal biases out of it, I love this sort of unapologetic display of self coming from this person, and it's the kind of thing we just spent a lot of time talking about. Oh, Kanye is trying to do this sense of self thing, and we should applaud him for being himself. It's like, okay, you know what? Janelle Monáe is being her fucking self, and she's not like a horrible person. She's a great person. She's someone that I think people can look up to. I think there's a lot of empowering and honest messages in the music, and you can't say that Janelle Monáe is being like not a free thinker or not like thinking outside the box. Like, yeah, she is pushing things outside the boundaries. But even beyond the messaging of the music, like, musically, it's fine, it's poppy, and that's, like, gonna be great or whatever. But, if I hadn't made my own halfing blowing up civilians before, I may, like, kill the kid or something, made 7.5 too. But, like,
shit.
I don't know.
Blow up a grandma.
Toddler mortality rate's pretty bad in those countries anyways. Sad fact of life. We really want to fix it. Anyways, but yeah, like, it's your grandma. So yeah, Janelle Monáe, hey, it's better than blowing up 2 civilians. Check it out.
So J. Cole announces a music festival, apparently.
I'm only adding this in because we've talked about other artists starting music festivals in the past, and we do want to have a conversation in the future talking about, like, festivals in general, especially around the summer. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, so it's Dreamville Festival, one day music fest that will take place the 15th of September in Raleigh, North Carolina. And
I guess nothing announced yet, but
I guess he was raised. I didn't realize he was raised in North Carolina. Yeah, he's not like announced anything, but I really want to have a conversation about artists making festivals. I think it's a really cool thing.
I think it's a great money-making opportunity.
Yeah, and it could be, if the artist is really into the art, it could be a great thing for artists to go to make more money instead of doing Coachella shit that we talked about with Cardi B's having to spend a shit ton of money on it. Instead of Lil Pump getting fucking $10 million and blowing it all on a house and cocaine and blows his brains out with his gun because he doesn't know how to work it because he shot it in the roof one day with his mom in his house.
Allegedly. I mean, we totally did it, but like, I think we can add that to our festival conversation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
whoa,
Damn, we talked about Damn getting a Pulitzer, prize last week, which was kind of unprecedented for a rap album to ever do. So, King Kunta at it again, but apparently, digital equivalent sales of his album jumped 236% following the announcement. So, I mean, I think that's really interesting. It could be that, I don't think that people who listen to Kendrick Lamar already, or people who listen to music already, were like, contemporary music already, went, oh, Damn, won a Pulitzer. Time to listen to it again. I actually genuinely think that people who hadn't heard the album before, hadn't been exposed to Kendrick's music before, are starting to listen to this album and form opinions about it, which I think is awesome. Like, let's bring more people into the fold. Let's educate more people. Let's get more people to hate Geraldo Rivera.
Oh God, Geraldo Rivera. Let's not talk about that. We talked enough politics today. I mean, that's kind of cool that more people listen to it, but at the same time, it's like, it's sad that it takes this to have some artists get recognized. That makes sense.
Yeah, not like Kendrick Lamar is like struggling to get recognized.
No. But it's like more. I wish more people were in tune.
More into this. Like, think that, like, that's why I'm being kind of, it's weird. I'm the optimistic one here. Usually I'm the pessimistic one, but I think this is going to be, I think this is a generally good thing because it's exposing
people. Oh, no, it's a great thing.
To see it. So I'm like, yeah, it sucks that artists don't get this larger recognition and still rap is seen by larger parts of society as this, like, weird offshoot thing. Some people don't even barely even consider it music, even though it's the dominant genre now and has been. But if any progress is happening, I'm all for it.
Right.
But let's regress and let's talk about Post Malone.
Fat white boy Post Malone. He
Beer Bongs and Bentleys. Yeehaw.
Yeah, he released his album Beer Bongs and Bentleys. It is, let's see,
18 songs,
an hour and 4 minutes. It did not feel that long to me, surprisingly. Well, didn't I go first last time? So you go first on this one. I want to hear it.
Wow, okay. Let's go right in. I guess I can't. There's anything. There's no better way I can start this. I couldn't finish the album one time. It was really fucking bad.
Really? Okay.
To be fair, I made it almost to the end. I made it to about 92 Explorer until I was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm spending my day as a graduating senior at a premier institution of higher learning. And
a real school.
And I am listening to fucking Post Malone right now. I can't do it. And then I had another, like, day and a half or so to try to listen and to revisit this album. Because I listened to all the albums at least twice. And the albums I like definitely more than that. But I really couldn't bring myself to do it because it just fucking sucked. Like, it's stuck in the trap, like, kind of persona, I guess. But this album is exactly what Post Malone is. Something trying to pretend to be it's something that it isn't. And looking really fucking pathetic and trashy while doing it. Like, this album did feel like it was going long. It felt even more unrelatable than usual trap feels like. It's like, I have a lot of money and no one loves me. It's like, all right, Post Malone, see a therapist, don't release an album about it. I guess it's more lucrative than actually seeing a therapist, so joke's on me. But like, the features were honestly the better parts of the album, just showing you that usually when you add black people to things, it makes it better. Not saying anything, just saying. But even though Spoil My Night with Shui Lee from Ray Shremmerd was fucking a horrible song. I hate to say this, but Rockstar, the 21 Savage song, was probably the best song on the album. And if I can be truly honest, like, I would love to try to think of Post Malone as Trap's Beck, as a white guy who can come in and put his own spin on it and do something good with it and make it a little bit different, because Trap needs a little bit of a spin. And I'm not opposed to, like, a country hicky white kid doing it, because, like I said, Beck killed it with his Scientologist ass. But, like, there are a couple songs where it feels like he's almost gonna do that. Like, Over Now, he does something different than a normal trap rhythm, where he blends, like, aspects of hard rock in it. And it's like, okay, I kind of see where you're going there. I really wish you would do more of that, as much as I can wish for Post Malone to get near a microphone ever again. But, like, the rest is just so shitty, because he's trying to be, like, a hard southern trapper when, yeah, you said he's, like, a pasty, tubby white kid. So I really can't, like, take it. That's not the reason I can't take it seriously, but because it's just, like, fucking bad. Deshaun, what do you think?
It's not trappy. It really isn't trappy. This is Fuckboy Malone, is what I'm calling it.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like he got in with some dumb chick who broke his heart, probably cheated on him because he's a fat, tubby white guy with a fucking barbed wire tattooed on your face. Sorry, bud, she gonna leave you.
Okay, and sorry. For a moment, I thought you said barbed wire tits.
That too. Yeah, there's a couple songs on here that weren't half bad. There was one that was, I have to look for it, that is acoustic, and it or is the starting of it sound like Wonderwall from Oasis. I go, what the fuck? And that song wasn't half bad. He can actually sing, but his writing is not that good. It's kind of like the fuckboy emo type of wailing about some dumb cunt who broke your heart and this or that, and then he goes into the... Some songs are trappy, but not nearly as much as I thought they would be. I've always liked Rockstar, the song. I hate to admit it. I mean, it's been out for a long time. And
we can't be friends. No, I'm kidding. I that's probably the closest thing to a Post Malone song I like.
Like I hate that I like it. I like it, but it's mostly because it's really catchy.
Yeah,
and also because 21 Savage says Pop Tart really funny, and that makes me laugh every time I listen to the song.
Oh my god, six cars.
Don't start me. And I thought it was gonna be way more trappier than it was, but then it just was all over the place. It couldn't have a feeling for the album. There was some hard rock ish songs that he tried to put into a trap theme. There were an acoustic songs that just sounded like normal hip hop R&B bullshit. And yeah, I wish that he can do something really good if he gets the right people around him and stops trying to be something that he isn't. Stops trying to pretend to be something that he isn't. That's the main thing that I say with this album, if that makes any sense. Because I was genuinely shocked because I listened to it twice to make sure I'm like, I'm not tripping balls, right? That he really didn't make too much of a trappy album. It was that type of just wailing about mistakes that you've made. Another thing, you do have a good voice, so don't use autotune on songs. So, please, next album, take that shit out.
So, I guess his voice is fine. Better than average, no. Passable for music, sure.
Better than trap. Definitely better than most of trap, because most of trap is wailing bullshit that sounds awful.
Well, most of trap isn't really singing. Like, most of trap singing is like rap singing, which is just autotune.
Which is autotune or saying, this is scary.
Which is also like kind of most of music anyways. It sounds like electronic. Which is like why I like artists like Ray Shremmerd and They, who they put actual good vocals into it. Mm-hmm. Along with Ray Shremmerd mixing autotune. But like, you know, whatever. We need to get through this disagreement of whether this is trap or not, because of course, it has elements of hard rock into it, but G-Eazy, YG, Nicki Minaj, Ty Dolla $ign, these are the people who are on this album. This isn't just like Gorillaz, where like you're getting a couple people to make this song sound more like that genre that people are coming from. Like, to me, if I can give you the benefit of the doubt, it's an attempt at hard rock that's really lo-fi and poorly produced with a lot of trap snare. But to me, it's just like, if you make it sound poorly produced and you make it have a lot of trap snare and you add hard rock to it, it's trap with hard rock to me. But like, we can have that disagreement. It's just like a quibble or a clarification. But
well, Stay is a normal song. Stay is an acoustic song.
That is, but is that the exception or is it the rule compared to everything else?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the thing with the album is half of it is trap, half of it isn't.
I don't even think it's half. I think Stay, Over Now, and then some elements of some of the other songs borrow from it. But like
Other Side, Other Side doesn't feel all of the stuff he does with the features.
Right.
Those are all trap. Like Over Now, not trap.
For sure, yeah, that's the one I agree with you. That's the one I'll give you. And I'll give
that
you
one
Stay
for
well.
Sure. That one for sure, and Other Side for sure are not. And Stay and a couple others. The rest is. So that's why when I was listening to it, it was just so strange because it couldn't find this feeling. So that's why I'm saying where if you stop trying the trap thing, you can make really good music. Because some of those songs aren't half bad. But when you try to pretend to be something that you aren't, try to be a trap artist, that's the stuff that sounds god-awful. The songs that don't sound god-awful are the ones that aren't trap. Like, yeah. You have a good voice, you have some good songwriting stuff, because that one song was honestly pretty good. So try to stick to that, and you can make something pretty good. You can make an album that will be worth listening to.
Hopefully, but I don't see it.
I don't see it either, because he's going to keep this up unless he pulls a complete 180, which I highly doubt it. But I'm saying, like, it is there. The talent is there. But
maybe Post Malone should listen to Audio Face.
Post Malone, definitely listen to Audio Face. It'll change your career and, like, white out that fucking stupid, dumb tattoo on you, you fucking white piece of trash. Also, your dad, like, works for the Dallas Cowboys and is pretty well off, so fuck off.
That's why he's so fake, because, like, at least most of trap comes from people who, like, grew up fucking dirt-ass broke poor.
Like, yeah, like Thugnificent poor. That's a damn shame poor. And he really didn't. But anyways, how many Arabs did this kill?
Okay, that Post Malone album, again, I'm coming in hot for it, and I'm going to add like a couple distant cousins on the way.
You can add a grandma or two.
Yeah, I'm going to say like maybe like a step uncle or something, right? Like a bit creepy, but
step uncle 2010.
We're going to have to delete that whole thing. No. This is the most redacted. This is the most like
this is bad.
Just sliding against the wall constantly. We haven't crashed yet, but we just like keep hitting the center divider.
Yeah, our tire blew out and we're trying to get to the pit to continue the race.
But like the pit's like 50 miles away.
Yeah, exactly. You flatted on turn one and there's 19 turns in this in Baku City Circuit that Formula One just raced today. Fuck you, Max Verstappen.
We're gonna make a Formula One podcast one day. Okay, so honestly,
dude, please, God, I want to make one. Holy hell.
We're growing. We're right. Syndicate 23 relaunch. We'll coming soon. We'll talk more about that. It's gonna be big. It's gonna be massive. Come around Audio Face 50. It'll be fun. But this is like, I'm also the reason I made that whole tangent was that I'm going to deduct one civilian because of Post Malone's thing about rap music earlier, his backpedal thing where there's no soul in rap music or whatever. And this was an attempt to add soul to it. And so that was his response. Did he do it? Fuck no. He just made it sound crappy and shitty and white. So I'm just going to say that's seven dead civilians.
Seven?
Yeah. Fuck Post Malone.
That's rough in the streets.
You know what's also rough in the streets? Seven dead civilians. Fucking don't worship Obama. No politics.
I mean, he is the drone queen and a war criminal, him and Biden, but we'll get into that later. I was going to give it a solid five and a grandma. It's because it's failing, but borderline failing. Like, you know that kid? We all know that kid. We all know that kid. That little chubby white kid in the corner that he's throwing his life away. But he could become something if he has the right guidance. We all know that kid in history class in like 10th grade or 11th grade. We've all seen him where it's like he could flunk out of high school or something real fast. He has a D, but
you know what? His dad owns a football team.
but his dad is like the football coach in like UCLA or some shit. And like they own nice cars, but he's out here fucking around. But he can turn to something, but he doesn't. That's what this is.
And then eventually Post Malone will get 40 and having reached his modest success over a little bit of help from his father, he'll announce his candidacy for the Republican Party.
I hope to have my Bundesrepublik Deutschland pass by then, so that way I have my way out.
Oh God, pull a hell out. Okay, we still have a zoo review. Oh, we just have a little bit more news to get to. Did not mean to rhyme that at all, honestly. I'm just that professional.
Raps, snitches, canishes.
Cardi B is being sued by her former
manager,
which is super rough in the streets. It says that he's claiming defamation and seeking damages, apparently. $10 million. Which, like, This is a barely consequential story to me. I mean, it's just like, hey, here's some drama that maybe you should be aware about. But Cardi B is how pregnant? And is still doing shows? And is still doing, like, this woman is amazing.
Yeah, I've read it, and it looks like just somebody being really petty and jealous, but who also didn't get paid the right thing. But don't ask him for $10 million. Just be like, hey, can we talk it out? And you give me a little bit, like, give me a little money because I helped write that song that made you big.
This seems like the kind of, like, bullshit thing that can be solved in arbitration, but, like, Jesus, exactly. she has to go through so much, like, shit. Like, so much bullshit. And I really just, like, mad props to her, like mad respect from me, honestly.
She gets plus one because she got minus one for making the S, but she gets plus one now because she's working hard. So she's at a solid even score.
Shibe.
You know I'm blasting that whenever I see you again, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're
like, oh yeah, like my when you come to Mochi Industries. My house is going to be rattling with that stupid song. It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be
pause.
And for those of all three of you listening to Audio Face on Google Play Music,
that still exists.
Apparently, it's going to be renamed to YouTube Remix.
What the fuck?
So here's what I can say based on take this with a grain of salt, given like where I work and what I know. So YouTube is, like, Google is rebranding a lot of things on Android, on YouTube, etc. YouTube, they're trying to make it into, like, a content brand. And so your music, your videos, that's going to be, like, where you go for YouTube to see things and to consume, like, that kind of stuff. For information, all that stuff, that's going to be Google. And so even the Android things, like, it used to be Android Pay, now it's Google Pay. They're just rebranding a bunch of stuff, shuffling things around to make it more simple. Never mind the fact that Google has 17 chat apps, but we'll get to that later. I mean, we won't get to that at all because it's not this podcast. But right. Apparently you'll be listening to this podcast on YouTube Remix because that'll be the new name for Play Music, not to be confused with YouTube Red, which is something that allows you to get both Google Play Music Unlimited and YouTube Red for the same thing. By the way, YouTube Red might be getting renamed to YouTube Premium at the same time.
YouTube, stop being... Don't do the Facebook.
Did I mention YouTube TV? Is that that new, like, pay TV thing?
Yeah, I saw that. That's what happens in a lot of Silicon Valley freshmen, or, like, straight out of college, cucks get up and do ideas for you.
It's like, no one taught them branding.
No, they really didn't. So we're gonna go on to an album that I think
an EP.
It's an EP technically.
Yes.
Fine. Whatever. EP.
It's Windows Does It Part One.
From Zoo.
Yeah.
It is 7 songs, 31 minutes long, and it is beautiful. It is the thing that I've been searching for a very long time in EDM, which is a house mix that's an album or EP, whatever the fuck you want to label it, these things, because it's 2018, we can't label anything without being called a racist.
Hashtag no politics.
Or a sexist, or a Nazi, or whatnot. You don't even know what those terms mean. So
free Milo.
People. No, fuck that kid. Fuck that guy. Should I dance again, or what?
No. Let's we're all gonna make 15.
You didn't.
I have to do so much editing, dude. The whole point of doing a podcast was that, so you know, we can make some content, shoot some shit to whatever, and I have to do less editing than one of my videos.
Now, you're the one who's like, we're starting with Kanye. I'm like, you realize this thing's gonna like fall apart the whole episode, right? We should put Kanye at the end. Then we could have just derailed the entire end of the episode. So, not to self. Anyway.
It's because of the, it's a format thing. I can't say it yet, but again, like Audio Face 50 is going to be the biggest week in Audio Face history. Check it out. You're gonna love it.
It's gonna be tremendous. Anyways, Zoo is great. I've heard his stuff before. Also, I love him because he's anonymous. Nobody knows his name. He's more hidden than Daft Punk are. Like, literally he could walk in the middle of Pico and nobody would fucking recognize him. And I love that. He said, judge me on my music. That's it. Cool. I will. And I love this shit. It's house music. Straight up. It's a complete... Basically, it sounds like a mix. You can't really distinguish some songs or whatnot when they end and when they start because the way he blends them together, it's like as if I'm going to the boiler room and someone's playing a mix. And the only time you could tell it was one of them was the sixth song, Burn Babylon, which is featuring Kez Namdi and Daniel Wilson, who I've never heard of, but that thing goes hard. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
if you feel the same, because you know me, I love my house, and it's hard to find basically unless you go to SoundCloud or to shows, because nobody puts stuff into an album or into an EP where they can show a mix and say, hey, look, people, listen to my shit.
Yeah, I think I'm officially out of my EDM phase, or like mostly out of it, but every once in a while I'll still
finally listen to house. I don't count house as EDM.
Shada's been waiting for this moment since I was 17. But no, like, I don't mean out of my... I'm considering EDM as house. I mean, like, going to shows, I guess. Because,
yeah,
like,
I've been if we're going to shows, we're going to, like, underground house shows, like, the good shit. Raves.
I've been going to, yeah, small house shows like that.
Oh,
so.
you've been doing the Sean. I'm so proud. They grow up so fast.
Okay, but, and to be fair, I've been loving Zoo for years.
That's true.
And I put this in the rundown. So, like, when I saw Zoo come out with an album, I'm like, oh, thank God, something, I don't have to listen to only Post Malone.
Right? You put Zoo in, I'm like, fuck, I forgot about him.
Like, to be fair, I would have listened to the Post Malone album twice, but I couldn't. I listened to the Zoo EP, like, 7 times because it's short. I listened to Janelle Monáe 3 times because it's long, but also wonderful. Pause. Yeah, every song on this album, it's like, it's a little bit of everything. There's some light, there's some soft, there's some like deep house, like funkiness, there's some this light grooviness. It's got like a little bit of everything out there, and it's not like Sean's like classic Warpath of hyphy EDM bullshit with high pitched noises. Like it's exactly. Art, and it's out there, and it stands for itself, and it's not too much, and it's not too little. Okay, it's some of the like, it's a progressive house quibble, but we do genre quibbles on the show all the time, so it doesn't matter. I think sometimes progressive house could be sped up a little bit, but it's the genre.
Oh, naturally.
I give it that. Like, it's whatever. It's like, oh, sometimes trap could be a little less annoying with a snare. Welcome to the genre, you'll give it that. So it's the same thing, I'm going to do that here. But no, I think it's really great. I love when Zoo comes out with projects. It's always unannounced, it's always low-key, but like, it's just quality fucking music.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. I love it. So, before we derail this anymore, we should just kill some more civilians. How many are we killing?
One.
Shit. I was going to give just a grandma.
I'm going to say it should have been longer.
Yeah, right? It just make it... I would love to go to a zoo.
Like, zoo?
Show,
like,
but that's never going to happen. But
I've seen Zoo twice now.
What the fuck? Where? Well, actually, he plays in LA a lot, so I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, and he plays in San Francisco. I saw him just this past New Year's Eve, and then I saw him a little before that. Sometime before that. 16 or
17. Okay.
But I didn't saw him New Year's Eve just past.
And, yeah, so I was going to give it, like, one or half human.
What do you think could have been better? Honestly, like, we're talking a lot of good about this. Let's be super nitpicky now, because now this is in the realm of, like, this is in the realm of, like, really, really good albums, like, or top EP. There, you got me going again. This is in the realm of, like, really good EPs. And so what could you nitpick about this? What should be better? Because I have some nitpicks.
The way it starts off, the first song, is kind of weak. And it also sounded like the beginning of Red Dead Redemption. I'm like, what the fuck am I playing? Am I playing this game again? That's the only thing. I mean, it kind of fit the theme because the album title is Ringo's Desert, Part 1. So I want to see what Part 2 sounds like. And so I get that theme is what you're going for. But the first song was kind of weird. But halfway through that first song, then you really got the gist of how the whole thing was going to sound. And then the transitions were beautiful and everything fit in together. So that's my one gripe, is the first transition was kind of strange. The rest was perfect.
You, I mean, this is Ringo's Desert Part 1, but he might pull a Calvin Harris and make it, like, he'll only do this one time and then something else. Although, this is too dissimilar from what Zoo usually sounds like. And I think that's my main complaint, is that I know Zoo is great. I know Zoo is this phenomenal artist. And this, I think Generation Y, his, like, last full effort, was pretty good. But I want to see him, like, he's one of those top-tier artists now. It's pretty cemented. I want to see him start playing with the genres a little bit. I want to see him do things that are a little bit... I'm just... bring something in. I'm not going to tell Zoo what to do, but I want Zoo to start pushing things further. I don't think he's getting stagnant, but he's just, like, just above that. I didn't see enough of that growth, I guess. But that's not to say that this sounds like... this doesn't sound stagnant. It still sounds very fresh and good. And then my other nitpick... I disagree with you in the Stormy Love beginning, like, kind of slowly. I mean, it does, but I don't mind that because it's the beginning of an album, and with
I didn't say slowly, it just sounded weird.
Yeah, well, weird, yeah. Like, with dance albums, it's, like, it's gonna start out kind of weird EPs.
That's true.
You know. I think my other gripe is the ordering of it. I think the first three songs were kind of slow. They're also, like, love based, and if you want to do that thematically, like, oh, it goes from love to this kind of different tone thing, which I think it kind of does, maybe, but it feels like thematically the album is leans heavy on that one side. Maybe it's intentional, maybe it's not. And then really in the middle of Desert Woman is, I feel like, when the album really picks up and gets really fun and upbeat. But that's my also my bias. Again, we're nitpicking. This is, in other words, a near perfect EP, and yeah, Zoo's wonderful.
Yeah, it's if you like house, you better like house. If you don't, we can't be friends. Listen to it.
Well, and
and to keep tradition alive, because this was a kind of a wild episode to say the least. Somebody got banned from this episode by far. We always try to end it on a light note. Have you have a laugh at the end? So, Soldier Boy's old website now redirects to a dragon sex toy company. So, Soldier Boy, the epitome of professional buffoons. Yeah, this is hilarious.
Dodging gutter.
Oh my god, that looks painful.
What? Just, oh my god! Oh man, this is a good thing. This is an audio podcast and not video. But, basically, it's a self-explanatory story. Soulja Boy's old merch website, sodmgco.com, is now redirected to a, quoting the Fader, fantasy dildo company named Bad Dragon. I'm not going to link to that. You can search for it yourself and learn about a new part of humanity that is fine.
Right.
It's, that's allowed. Not my thing. That's allowed. Jesus Christ. That's intense. Almost looks like bacon.
It really does. It's really weird.
Yeah. So. Well, I'll leave the listeners with that nice mental image. Sean, thank you for this career wrecking journey.
Yeah.
Go. I was gonna say, I usually have a part of the episode where I have, like, music we're expecting next week, but I don't know what we're expecting next week, because this was a big episode and this is a busy week. But we will have an episode next week. We'll talk about something. Even if there's not a lot of music, we have so many discussion section topics just backed up. We'll just talk about that and have fun. Sean, people can find you at SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram. What do you got going on, if anything?
I have a new bike.
It's really purple and it's really glittery and it's pretty.
It's really purple, glittery, and beautiful, and it's fast as fuck. And it's going to win me some races, finally.
And are you going to be recording a lot about it to show people?
Yeah, once it's... I have to go in and do a couple more things on it, and then I'm going to post about it. Like, Post Malone about it. But not Post Malone about it, because he's whack.
This Post Malone killed Post Malone.
Right, so yeah, that was episode 46. Thank you guys for listening. Catch us next week where we won't get banned and won't be talking about Kanye anymore until his album is released because we're banning him. Cheers, guys.
Bye. Okay, so you know what? Give me one moment, Sean. All right, time to make this saucy. So now, fuck, I spilled my beer.
Dumbass.
I'm hilarious.
Even no. I don't do that.